Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here at the Madeleine for the offering of this Sunday Mass. Know that you're always welcome here at any time in the future. A big thank you today to the young men of Scout Troop 81. There's one of them had an Eagle Scout project, and they put in a new garden just right over here on the south side of the church. You've got the south doors from the vestibule. So a nice garden. It's been weeded, and all the weeding was not exactly part of the original agreement, but they did it anyway. They put up a fountain and a small statue of St. Francis. So thank you for their efforts here to help beautify our parish church. Please know that this evening on St. Michael Catholic Radio here in Tulsa, that's FM 102.9 and FM 94.9, our new bishop, David Condorla, is going to be interviewed. He's being interviewed by Father Brian O'Brien, the president of Bishop Kelly High School, about his impressions of the diocese so far and also what it's like to be a brand new bishop. And that begins at 7 o'clock tonight. You can also listen to it if you have the St. Michael Radio app on your smartphone. Tomorrow is August the 15th, and we will celebrate the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is a holy day, but because this year it falls on a Monday, it's not an obligation. We will still have Mass. It's a holy day, but not one in which you're expected to go to Mass. So we'll have Mass at 8 o'clock in the chapel, morning prayer at 7:30. Everybody's welcome. And also know that tomorrow, that group in Oklahoma City that not long ago did what they refer to so-called as a black mass. Well, they're up to it again, and they're going to do something like that tomorrow in mockery of the Blessed Virgin. And so I ask that just as we did last time, that we pray. Let our response be not anger and frustration, but prayer. So please, if you're available, to come for the mass tomorrow at 8. Please know I'll be available for confessions on Tuesday from 6 to 7 and from Wednesday from 5 to 6. And next weekend when Father Castro is here during the mission appeal, I will be visiting my mom and sister brother-in-law in Texas. I normally don't go to Texas in August. If there's one place that's going to be hotter than Tulsa, it's going to be the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But I'll make the most of it, not exactly how things That's how things worked out this time. So, but I'll be gone this next weekend and we'll be back the following Monday. The town of Manford, Oklahoma has a population of just over 2,000. It is 22 miles straight west of Tulsa along Highway 51. It's located, on Keystone, Lake. And, the name of the parish, which is a mission out of Sand Springs, reflects its location. The church is named Our Lady of the Lake. The people of Manford, 4 years ago this month, endured a traumatic experience of those massive wildfires the first week of August 2012. And those fires destroyed more than dozens of homes, caused the evacuation of the entire town, and burned almost 80 square miles of land before they were contained. Now, I remember that fire, some of the worst was going on a weekend. I can remember quite well, right before the mass here on Saturday evening, the haze that was in the air, the smell of the smoke, that orange-red glow to the west was not the setting sun, but it was the fires at Manford over 20 miles away. And also, I remember the ash was falling like snow flurries. And to this day, if you drive along Highway 51 or the Cimarron Turnpike near Manford, there are remnants of entire stands, acres of trees that are charred black and left lifeless by the fires. Fire can do that sort of thing. To the ancient Greeks and other people, fire was one of the basic elements of nature. In a time before a modern understanding of chemistry with a periodic table of 118 elements found in nature, for the ancient peoples, there were basically, there's a much shorter list. Earth, water, air, and fire. Fire is an image that appears repeatedly in the scriptures, as it does in today's gospel from Luke. Jesus says, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it was already blazing." And thus, Jesus teaches the next lesson in discipleship today. And these lessons, as in recent Sundays, he teaches what it means to take up the cross and follow him, teaches us what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be his church. And he also today introduces for the first time what is sometimes referred to as the hard sayings, the difficult sayings of Jesus. And we'll be hearing them the next several Sundays. And in them, Jesus makes clear that there is a cost to being a disciple. In both the Old and New Testaments, the image of fire appears repeatedly, but with different meanings. There is the fire of divine judgment that punishes sin. You know, not long ago at Sunday Mass, we heard the gospel reading of Jesus and his disciples. They're passing through a Samaritan village, and they're not given what some of them think is the proper respect and hospitality. So James and John ask Jesus if they can call upon God to rain down some good Old Testament fire and brimstone upon the village. To which Jesus replies, no, we don't do that. There's also the divine fire of purification, as well as the fire as a symbol of an enthusiastic faith. Today we might hear the phrase, to get fired up, or to have fire in the belly. There's also the divine fire of the Holy Spirit. That image of Pentecost with the tongues as a fire descending upon the disciples in the upper room, as is depicted in our stained glass window here in the parish church. I have come to set the earth on fire. Once again, we see that Jesus is serious about what it means to follow him, what it means to be a disciple. And I think it is a mistake to try to somehow water it down to make it less demanding in the hope that it will be more appealing. A disciple recognizes and accepts that Jesus is not some wise historical figure who offered some feel-good sayings about God and living in peace. A disciple recognizes that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, the human face of the Father's mercy. And he has come to set the earth on fire, to set us on fire as disciples. He comes as the divine fire to destroy the power of evil, to purify us of our sinfulness. For God's mercy calls us to repentance and conversion. He comes to consecrate us with the Holy Spirit, to illuminate within us the gift of faith that is placed within our hearts, to set our hearts on fire. This divine fire is a basic element of being a disciple, of being his church. For I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it was already blazing. To be a disciple is to be set on fire with the passionate love which God has for each and every one of us in Jesus Christ. It is the divine fire of love that rains down upon us from the cross. It rains down upon us from the altar in the Eucharist. It is that fire that was first given to us on the day of our baptism. You know, that baptismal candle that is presented to us, or perhaps if we were infants, presented to our parents or godparents, it's not a souvenir. You know, sometimes it's easy when you go visit people's homes, and some people, I can tell where they have visited, where they vacationed, because they've got those souvenir ornaments on their refrigerator door, those magnets. I don't collect magnets as souvenirs where I travel to go on the refrigerator door. I collect coffee mugs. And sooner or later, I'm going to run out of space in the kitchen cabinet. But our baptismal candle is not a souvenir. It is a visible reminder of the fire that Jesus comes to set in us. It is the divine fire sealed in us at confirmation with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the blazing passion of divine love that destroys the power of sin, purifies and consecrates us. For I have come to set the earth on fire. I recently finished reading Dante's Inferno. It was going to be a 6-week Lenten activity. It took me much longer to do that. Just finished it around the 4th of July. It's considered a classic in Western literature. It's the first part of a 3-part epic poem known as the Divine Comedy, written in the early 1300s by the Italian poet Dante. Now, I know a lot of you of my generation, you read it in high school. I somehow managed to weasel out of that. So now I'm trying to kind of make up for lost time. In the poem, Dante is taken through the different levels, first of hell, then purgatory, and finally heaven. It is symbolic of the spiritual journey of the Christian believer. In the Inferno, when he reaches the lowest level of hell where Satan is, Dante discovers that it is not a lake of fire, as often thought of in popular imagination. Instead, it is a lake of ice, barren, lifeless. At its center, Satan is encased from the waist down in ice. The lowest level of hell is a frozen wasteland because it is the place in all creation furthest from the divine fire of God's love. But as Jesus says, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it was already blazing. This fire of divine love is a basic element of discipleship. In accepting it, we as the church are freely saying yes to be set on fire. To be set on fire not just on Sundays or at times of convenience, but be set on fire on a daily basis. Saying yes to the fire means saying no to all that threatens to water it down or to put it out. Primarily, it is saying no to that which the world holds in highest value, the endless pursuit of power, wealth, pleasure, and status. As disciples set on fire by divine love, we must be set against these values. And there is the cause of the division. As we hear Jesus today say, "Do you think I have come to establish peace on the earth? I tell you, I come to cause division." It's worth asking, why? I mean, is there not division enough already? There seems to be plenty to go around and then some. Why add to it? There's many a family, maybe yours is one of them, that is as divided today as Jesus describes, or even worse. We live in a divided nation, a divided world, and at times a divided church. So what's wrong? A little bit of peace and harmony every now and then. This hard saying of Jesus is less about, I think, family unity, as it is about something else. To be set on fire with divine love as a disciple means that we will face opposition. Not everybody wants to be set on fire with divine love, because to do so means that there will be a change. There must be a change of attitude. There must be a change of behavior, of lifestyle. And out of fear and of hatred, there will be opposition. There will be division. And sometimes the division is from without. Sometimes it is from within our own hearts. And sometimes that fear and hatred from the outside will lead to death. When the fire that divine love took flesh in the person of Jesus Christ to bring light to the world preferred the darkness. The disciple should expect nothing less. This opposition comes in many forms. Sometimes it is the violent persecution, as with the current genocide against Christians in the Middle East. Other times it is the mockery and ridicule, as with the group in Oklahoma City tomorrow. And it also includes the non-violent, subtle, and sometimes not so subtle, pressure to conform to the power of the state. There is a cost to being a disciple. If you think there isn't, try giving a serious, faithful witness to the fullness of Catholic teaching on the dignity of human life. And I mean the fullness of that teaching. Not just the parts that we like, not just the parts that fit into our political beliefs. Do that, and you will face opposition. Not everybody wants to hear the truth. Even the truth of the divine fire of God's love. It is such opposition based on fear and hatred to that truth that lands the prophet Jeremiah in the mud at the bottom of this well. Living 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, Jeremiah speaks the truth to the powerful elites. And he speaks the truth they don't want to hear. Basically he says, Stop trusting in yourselves and start trusting in God. It's a time of crisis. Jerusalem is under siege by an invading army. And for this witness, the elites, out of fear, out of hatred, they want him dead. Remember on the day of our baptism, when we received that light of faith and that baptismal candle, we were also, every one of us, consecrated to be prophets. To speak the truth. To say yes to the divine fire and no to all the fear, arrogance, and pride that hates that fire. That is why there will be division. But in the fire of this divine love, may we see that we're not alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us. When faced with opposition and hatred, as faithful disciples, we are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the one who comes to set the earth on fire, to set our hearts on fire with divine love.